Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're getting into the weeds of modern dating. It's murky out there, right?
It really is.
So we're bringing some focus, some research to help figure out how to, stop stressing and actually connect with people.
Exactly. And our goal for you, the listener, is pretty straightforward. Cut through the noise, separate the myths that keep you stuck from strategies that, well, actually work.
Based on science.
Based on science.
Yeah.
We need practical tools, how to handle the nerves, project real confidence, and this is crucial, tell the difference between genuine self-assurance and something much less helpful, destructive even.
Okay, let's unpack this then. We've got sources looking at personality traits, emotional regulation techniques that you can actually use, and even some really cool experimental data from speed dating, measuring what people find desirable.
Yeah, it's about giving you a kind of toolkit, both for your head and your body, respecting your nervous system, but also aiming for real, authentic connection right from the start.
Yeah, so let's start with that big one, the foundation, really. Confidence versus arrogance. In dating, arrogance isn't just being cocky, is it? It's deeper.
Oh, much deeper. It's believing you're fundamentally better, that you don't need anyone else's opinion, their input.
Like you've got it all figured out.
Exactly. And our sources define it quite powerfully. Arrogance isn't strength. It's called a shield that keeps us from facing the truth. It's usually hiding some insecurity, some shame, maybe. It's even been called the quiet killer of connection. It pushes people away far more than it protects the person using it.
Right. So if arrogance is the shield, then genuine confidence. That's about not needing the shield, being okay without it.
Precisely. Confidence is kind of the opposite of that isolation. It's described as being born from the ability to stand fully in your truth and allow space for another to do the same.
Allowing space, that's key.
It is. A truly confident person, they can be vulnerable. They can admit they're wrong, make compromises. Their self-worth isn't, hanging on being right every single time.
That difference really shows up in behavior, doesn't it? You can spot the arrogant partner. Like they just won't prioritize your time or what you care about. It's always their agenda first.
Always. And that self-focus, it leaks into everything. Even small things.
Yeah.
Like the source mentioned someone buying dinner, they get exactly what they want. Maybe something you don't even like, and just assume that's fine.
Wow. No asking.
No asking. They demand you agree with them. They don't actually want your input.
That sounds exhausting. Like you're just an extra in their movie.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
They'll talk constantly, expect you to just buy everything they say.
Yeah.
And communication, it's totally on their terms,
Sure.
whenever it's easy for them. You could be waiting hours for a text back. It doesn't matter.
And when things go wrong, which they always do eventually.
Oh, arrogance kicks into high gear then. It's the ultimate defense. They'll blame you instantly for their mistakes, and they'll watch you, like the source says, like a hawk, just waiting to pounce on your slip-ups.
So all that rudeness, the interrupting, keeping people at a distance,
Yeah.
it's really coming from a place of insecurity.
Often, yes. Low self-esteem hiding behind this perfect-looking outer shell. It's sad, really.
It is, and dealing with that is one thing, but honestly, even with great people, dating can feel super stressful, which brings us nicely to anxiety. That's a huge roadblock, right?
Huge and so common because dating is all about uncertain outcomes, isn't it? It's natural to feel nervous. But if that anxiety takes over, it really limits your chances of making those meaningful connections you want.
And we tend to lean on these comforting ideas, myths, really, that actually let us avoid the whole thing. Let's bust myth number one. I need to love myself before someone else can love me.
Oh, that one's a big trap, a
Yeah.
classic avoidance tactic, yeah. The truth is, dating is vulnerable. The risk of rejection, it pokes right at our deepest negative beliefs, I'm unlovable or I'm not good enough.
So dating makes it worse sometimes.
Often. You're often less likely to feel self-love when you're actively dating than when you're safely single. The key thing is, you absolutely can work on those issues within a healthy relationship. You don't have to be perfect first.
It's the perfect excuse, though, isn't it? Oh, I'm just not ready. Okay, myth number two. Dating should be fun. I think everyone's felt that sinking feeling before a date, thinking this feels like work, not fun.
Right. And that expectation that it should be fun adds so much pressure.
Yeah.
If it's not immediately amazing, people think something's wrong and they quit.
Yeah.
Our sources actually suggest a more realistic frame. View dating as hard work sometimes, like a stressful part-time job. It sounds bleak, maybe, but it acknowledges the reality of rejection and stress. It's a healthier starting point, strangely enough.
Takes the pressure off trying to force the fun. Okay, third myth, waiting for motivation. I'll start dating when I feel excited about it.
Yeah, if you wait for motivation, especially when success isn't guaranteed,
Yeah.
you could wait forever. Motivation is fickle.
So what do you do instead?
Focus on your values, your goals. What kind of connection do you actually want? What kind of partnership? Let those deeper things guide your actions, not whether you feel buzzed about scrolling through profiles today.
Okay, so we've debunked some myths. Now, how do we actually deal with the anxiety when we do put ourselves out there? This is where it gets interesting, moving from psychology into, biology.
Sort of, yeah. Huh. You can actively use your body, your nervous system, to manage that stress response. It borrows from things like CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, and even exposure therapy.
We can kind of hack your nerves.
That's a good way to think about it. We're coaching the body and mind to dial down that immediate fight or flight stress. These are practical things you can do before a date or even during. Body hacks, if you like.
Like the power pose. I've heard of this. The Superman or Wonder Woman stance.
That's the one. Just 2 minutes, hands on hips, shoulders back, stand tall. It sounds a bit silly, maybe. But the research shows it actually changes your internal chemistry. It boosts testosterone, which is linked to confidence. And crucially, it lowers cortisol, the stress hormone.
So it physically prepares you to feel more confident and take risks.
Exactly. It primes your body.
But hang on, isn't that just faking it? Like the arrogance we talked about, putting on a posture?
That's a really important question. The key difference is the intent and the effect. Arrogance uses a posture to hide insecurity, to keep others out. The power pose aims to change your internal state so you can approach the situation feeling genuinely calmer, more grounded.
Okay, so it's about improving your internal baseline, not putting up a false front.
Precisely. You're managing your physiology so your real self can come through more easily.
Got it. Okay, simpler hack. Breathing. Seems obvious, but...
It's incredibly powerful. Your stress response is automatic, right?
Okay.
But breathing is the one automatic process you can consciously control to shift your nervous system.
So how do you do it? Just deep breaths.
The recommendation is often balanced breathing. Breathe in slowly for, say, 6 counts, and then breathe out slowly and evenly for 6 counts. Just doing that for a couple of minutes can make a huge difference. Calms everything down.
Okay, easy enough to try. What about when you're actually on the date and your mind starts racing, those anxious thoughts spiral?
That's where mindful grounding comes in. You need to pull your focus out of your head and into the present moment, using your senses.
How does that work?
Use the breathe, feel, hear, touch, see idea. Okay, take a breath. What can you physically feel? Maybe the cool glass in your hand. What can you hear? The background music, other conversations. What can you touch? The table texture. What can you see? Notice the details.
Ah, so it anchors you in the here and now, stops the what-if spiral.
Exactly. It pulls you out of those catastrophic thoughts and into physical reality. Very effective.
Okay, body hacks covered. What about mindset stuff? Preparation.
Yeah, athletes use positive visualization constantly. We can apply the same idea to dating.
So just imagine the date going well.
Pretty much. Picture yourself having good conversations, laughing, feeling relaxed and confident. Your brain apparently doesn't make a huge distinction between vivid imagination and reality. So it's like a mental rehearsal. Sets a positive blueprint.
Low risk, high reward potentially. I like that. And what about during the conversation itself? Any tips for nervous talkers?
My favorite. Active listening. This is huge because it shifts your focus completely off yourself and your own anxiety and onto the other person.
Who's probably also nervous.
Very likely. The simple rule is try to genuinely listen about twice as much as you talk. Ask good questions. Be curious about them. It takes the pressure off you having to perform.
That makes a lot of sense. And finally, you mentioned exposure therapy earlier. How does that apply?
Through progressive exposure. You don't have to jump straight into intense one-on-one dates if that feels overwhelming.
Start smaller.
Yeah. Start with lower stakes stuff. Maybe just practice initiating brief chats with cashiers or baristas. Go to a casual group meetup. Then work your way up to longer conversations, then maybe a coffee date.
So you gradually build tolerance and confidence. Show your brain it's not actually that scary.
Exactly. You build evidence that you can handle it. And usually nothing terrible happens.
Okay, these methods sound good for managing nerves internally. But does all this effort, the breathing, the listening, the posing, actually make a difference in how other people see us? This is where the speed dating research comes in, right?
Yes, this is where we get some fascinating validation. The researchers specifically tested if men who got a short tutorial on basically projecting confidence in a speed dating setup were rated as more desirable.
Did it work?
It did. The men who got the tutorial were perceived by the women as having significantly higher social confidence. They also rated them higher on dominance and status compared to the guys who didn't get the training.
Okay, seems logical. More confident guys seem higher status, more dominant, more attractive.
Well, that's where it gets nuanced. That was the initial finding, but the crucial part was the why. They used something called mediation analysis.
Okay, what's that?
It basically lets researchers figure out what specific factor is actually causing the effect. They wanted to know, was it the perceived status, the dominance, or the confidence itself that made the men more desirable?
And what did they find?
They found that while status and dominance ratings did go up with the training, those weren't the main things driving desirability.
So what was?
Only the perception of social confidence, you know, seeming composed, comfortable in their skin, articulation. That was the significant predictor of whether women found them romantically desirable and wanted to see them again, the yesing.
Wow. So it wasn't about seeming rich or powerful. It was about seeming together. The cure.
Precisely. That sense of being comfortable and composed was the key ingredient. And the effect for short-term interest was pretty big. The confident guys were chosen for a short-term thing 36% of the time versus only 9% for the guys perceived as less confident.
Okay, so the training works. Confidence is really attractive, especially that social poise. Seems like a clear win, but there's always a but, isn't there?
There is. The researchers anticipated a potential problem, kind of a too-good-to-be-true issue.
Yeah.
The trap of the gamed signal.
Meaning?
Meaning, what happens if people suspect the confidence isn't genuine? That it's been learned or manufactured? So they added another twist.
What did they do?
In some cases, they randomly told the women that the man they were about to talk to had received dating skills training. Didn't matter if he actually had or not, just that the women thought he had. Yeah. They wanted to test the impact of suspected faking it.
And what happened when the women thought the confidence might be manufactured?
This is where it gets really critical. The ones the women thought had been trained were still rated higher in social confidence because, well, maybe they were more articulate or composed due to training or just naturally.
But they were simultaneously rated as significantly lower in trustworthiness. The skills were noticed, but now they felt potentially deceptive, disingenuous.
Ouch. And lower trustworthiness, that's got to hurt your chances, especially for something serious. Absolutely. That drop in perceived trustworthiness tanked the man's overall romantic desirability. And crucially, it made women much less likely to choose him as a potential long-term committed partner.
Because you can't build a real relationship on something that feels fake.
Exactly. The foundation just isn't there if trust is compromised right at the start. Interestingly, though, knowing about the training didn't really affect whether he was chosen for a short-term, casual thing.
Fascinating. So the big takeaway for you, the listener, is this delicate balance. Confidence, especially social confidence, is super attractive. It gets you noticed.
Definitely boosts initial appeal.
If that confidence comes across as overly practiced, like you're just running a script or gaming the system, if it doesn't feel authentic,
you sabotage the trust needed for anything deep or lasting. You might get the first date, but maybe not the second, and probably not a long-term relationship.
So the internal work we talked about, dealing with anxiety, grounding yourself, listening, that's maybe even more important because it helps the confidence seem real.
That's the synthesis, really. You need to start with the internal work. Acknowledge dating can be tough, let your values drive you, use those body hacks to manage the nerves genuinely, then layer on the external skills, the communication techniques. The skills work best when they're amplifying something real inside.
Right. So we've covered a lot. We distinguished real confidence from that destructive arrogance. We busted some myths that fuel anxiety and avoidance. And we offered some science-backed ways, power poses, balanced breathing to manage your nerves. And we saw that confidence really is trainable and attractive.
But with that crucial caveat about trustworthiness for the long haul.
Which leaves us with a final thought for you to consider. We know social skills training works. It makes people seem more confident and initially desirable. But it carries this risk, especially for long-term potential, of making you seem less trustworthy if it feels gamed.
So the question becomes, how do you signal that learned competence, those improved social skills, without sacrificing the feeling of authenticity and trustworthiness that's absolutely essential for a deep, lasting connection? How do you show you're skilled and sincere?
Finding that sweet spot, that blend of social grace and genuine emotional honesty. Maybe that's the real art of mature dating.
Something to think about. We'll catch you next time for another deep dive.